didn't see that one coming. It's great to be here. And as I've mentioned in the past, I'm gonna sit this here. It's always interesting whenever you speak like this on a regular basis, whenever you're preaching in front of people, because far too often, or more than, we'll just say more than makes me comfortable, you'll prepare a lesson or a sermon or some type of study series or something, and you think that, man, you know, and I do my research, I'll ask people questions, so what's going to be the best thing for those who are listening, the congregation or whatever, and too often, as you're preparing it for everyone who's listening to you, it ends up being about you. And so this is one of those Sundays where this particular lesson that I want to share about spiritual investment, turns out it was all about me. So I say that only because it's important for people to understand sometimes that nobody's exempt from the Word of God. You know, like sometimes it's like, you know, and I had a meeting with a bunch of preachers this past week, a bunch of ministers who we were just discussing different things related to the ministry. And, you know, it's so interesting because one guy, he said how, you know, sometimes I don't think that, you know, the people in my congregation realize that as I'm preaching to me too. Well, this week is definitely preaching to me too, because what we're going to talk about specifically is planning and preparation. And as many of you know, I've been moving this week. And that requires some planning and preparation, and you never truly understand exactly how prepared or unprepared you are until you have half of your boxes and clothes in one house, half in the other, and then you wake up and you're like, I just have to put this on because this is the only thing I have. So if you don't like my get up, then I'm sorry. Fortunately, Lee is not here to get on me about it. She's really been on me because I've been losing so much weight. But anyway, the title of the sermon today is Failing to Plan is Planning to Fail. Now, for many of us, we've heard this term before. We've heard this saying before. And I want to get into this a little bit because as we've been talking about investing spiritually, and what is required of us as we've been given this gospel, we've been given the word of God so that we can then go out and be like Jesus and give it to others. You know, I've talked about this, you know, the past few weeks, the saying that I was taught that investing without a plan is simply gambling. That if you intend to go out and invest your money and turn it into something, but you don't have a plan, then you're just gambling. It's like going to a casino because you're basically hoping and you're wishing and you're saying, well, maybe my luck, you know, will be good or some, maybe there's something in the stars. No, you have to plan your investment just the way that you would plan when you, you know, when you're working and you're putting your money in your 401k, you're putting in your retirement, or even if you put it in property or whatever you do to invest, you plan these things. And I want to look at an example of what planning and not planning is from a spiritual perspective, because I want us to really take the time and examine ourselves and say, have we actually been responsible in planning that investment, that deposit that has been put in us? So we'll start in Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 1, it reads, at the time the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, here's the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out. No, they replied. There may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves. But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. Lord, Lord, they said, open the door for us. But he replied, truly I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. Now, there's a lot in here, and I won't go very deep into the background and meaning of the story with the virgins and the oil and the bridegroom, but it's important in looking at this that while both sets of individuals understood what they were doing, they understood the magnitude of the situation, they understood what they were assigned to do, what they were prepared to do, what they were coming up against, but five of them prepared and planned the right way. The other five did not. And it's not just that they didn't prepare, but they actually had the attitude of, well, why don't you give me some of yours? And it's important to note also where it says that the bridegroom was still a far, long way off. You have plenty of time. And when we think about our relationship with God, when we think about the investment of the gospel, the reason why this is so important in our lives is because many of us, not everybody certainly, but many of us, it's like when you talk about walking with Jesus, many of us have been walking with Jesus for a very, very, very long time. Not just, okay, a few months or a couple of days or something. Many of us can go back and think of experience after experience, time after time, church after church. We can think of all the investment. We can think of many Bible studies. We can think of many church services, many sermons. We can think of our own personal experiences, how God has impacted us, and how just like these bridegrooms, just like these virgins, the five who didn't have the oil, we've had plenty of time to make good on the investment that God has put in us. We've had plenty of time, and yet when the bridegroom comes, we sit back and it's like, oh, I don't know that I have enough oil. Let me have some of yours. And what's important to understand about this is that we can't say, well, hey, you know what? This person here who I go to church with and I've known them for years and they're a really good friend of mine, they and what they have and what they do for the Lord, what they do with the gospel, how they take that investment that God has given them and what they go do with it, that doesn't work for me. See, as much as we're a community, as much as we are all striving to be like Jesus and we're believers, at some point, we have to give an account for our own salvation. We have to give an account for what we did. We looked, I believe it was last week when we talked about the bags of gold and other gospels, it was the talents, and how the one person was afraid and they didn't, you know, they were feeling like, well, maybe it was kind of unfair. Like, they didn't go and make good and take what was given to them and double up and make good on that investment. And what we see here is that our planning, having a strategy, just like we would do it with our investment portfolio, just like we would do with our retirement, all these things, you know, your kids' education, just like we would plan our finances and have a goal. And if we didn't know what we were doing, we would sit down with a strategist and they would come up with some strategy for us. The same thing applies to us. Exactly how do we plan to go about making good on that deposit of the gospel that God gives us. What have we been preparing for all this time? You know, it's like I think about my kids and how I've still got a little ways before they get to college, right? Well, the Grossers, they don't have that kind of time. They've got kids in college. Matthew still has to eat. He still has to get books, you know, and it's like they don't have time to say, okay, well, you know, we still got to. No, they're either ready or they're not. Matthew's smiling because he's like, yes, I'll be going back to school. They were ready. And we see the same thing when it comes. I think about when I was preparing to get married or when we were planning to move and how we were building up, we were doing things. And that's why I kind of, you know, poke fun at myself, because the one thing I always fail to do, the several times we've moved, the one thing I always fail to do, and my wife will tell me, and she'll keep telling me, I say, I know, I'm going to do it, and then I always forget, is I never have enough boxes. I just never have enough boxes. Like, I show up with, like, 10 boxes, like, I'm victorious. My wife's like, that's not even going to get the living room done. You know, you should have asked me how many boxes we needed, you know. And yet, when we think about how important the duty of being God's people and sharing the word and being able to give the truth to people, how much do we actually plan for it? This guy here, in this picture, the term failing to plan is planning to fail. It was actually attributed to him. And this guy's name is Alan Lakin. Lakin like lake, like Silver Lake, and in, like I-N. Alan Lakin. And basically this guy is, he wrote a bunch of books, but he's a counselor that basically helps people manage their time. He basically came up with a bunch of strategies and a bunch of really good self-help books, a series of them, talking about how to better manage your time. Because what generally happens is that most of us, we may have great strategies, great ideas, great goals. This is not the time for this. But we have all these different ideas and goals and things that we want to do. But we don't manage our time well, because we get distracted by other things. We get to the point where, yes, I want to do this. Yes, I know this is what God would have me do. But I also got to think about this. And I also got to do that. And so this guy, he came up with these different books. And it was interesting because as I was looking at the saying, where did that saying originate? And I found him. There's so many other sayings that he had that are quotable. Obviously, we know this one. Failing to plan is planning to fail. If you don't have a plan, how do you expect to succeed? If you don't have a plan for how it is you're going to go out and be the disciple of Christ who's going to share the gospel, how can you ever expect to bear fruit? You know, and you say, well, one person, they do this, and I don't do this. Well, great. What is your plan? What works for you? You know, what gives you results? If you think about somebody who is a farmer, if you go out and you do this and you're getting minimal results, well, what do? Talk to your other farmer friends, talk to other people, read some books, come up with a different strategy. You try different things, but you develop a plan. Another one was, time equals life. Therefore, waste your time and waste your life, or master your time and master your life. When we think about the time that we spend, are we spinning our wheels? Are we debating the gospel? Or are we actually advancing the gospel? Are we actually using our time wisely? See, what we found was, yeah, it's natural and normal for you to get to sleep. You're bored, you're waiting, you don't know when he's coming, so you just fall asleep. And notice it said, they all fell asleep, but the other five were prepared for when it was time to hear the shout saying he's arrived. See, what are we doing with our time? Because, you know, it's very true that you can tell a lot by a man by what he spends his time doing. If you spend your time arguing with people, for example, over the scriptures, instead of helping those who don't know the scriptures, who don't know the word, who don't know the love of God, are you actually spending your time wisely? That doesn't mean it's not beneficial to talk to people and encourage them and teach them. I mean, we do it all the time. But what do we do with that teaching that comes in? What do we do with what we learn? How do we spend our time with, as it pertains to sharing the gospel? Planning is bringing the future into the present so that you can do something about it now. Meaning, what you do right now, how you prepare yourself right now, will determine your outcomes and the ability to be effective in the future, because you don't necessarily know what's coming. And we see this in this guy, Alan Lakin. Okay, this is great. He came up with a lot of different sayings and a lot of different books, and he's helped a lot of people. Millions of people have read his work, but do the millions of people who read what we just read in Matthew, do we truly understand that if we're not engaging in purposeful and intentional discipleship, if we're not engaging in helping other people find Christ, what are we doing with our time? What are we doing with that deposit? We have to have a plan for that. And yes, there's the scriptures, there's the plan of salvation, and there's, you know, you hear and you believe and you confess and you repent and you get baptized. But that's not what we're talking about. I'm talking about how, you know, we were talking about in Bible study this morning about sending them out two by two. See, that's part of a plan. See, they had somewhere that they were going to share the gospel. You know, years ago we used to have this thing, they called it your watering hole. Like, where do you spend your time? Where people who are lost, you know, being fishers of men, where do you spend your time where you can actually be a fisher of men? Because if I say I'm a fisher of men, I'm going to be like Jesus, and I'm going to come follow him, and I've changed my purpose from fishing for fish to fishing for men, but I never spend any time by the lake, what kind of fisherman are you? Are you actually engaging in the process of fishing for men? Philip and I were joking about this, because I keep saying I want to go fishing. He's like, yeah, you keep saying you want to go fishing, but I'm still waiting. We can always go to the lake. And I'm like, okay. And then the next weekend comes, and I'm moving, and then whatever. And it's like, hey, man, there's still fish out there. When you going to go? And sometimes we have to ask ourselves, when are we going to just go and go do some fishing? When are we actually going to take what we saw about the gospel being that deposit? It's the reason why we heard it and others maybe haven't heard it yet. What are we going to do? When are we actually going to engage? We talked about that this morning too, ironically, was that it's about relationships. You know, sometimes you just have to talk. And it could be as simple as saying, hi, how are you? There's a lady yesterday, we were up in Philadelphia, we went to IKEA, and we mostly just looked at stuff because we're not ready to get anything yet. And it was funny because we were talking about rude people. And rude people are pretty, you know, clear to see. And this one lady in particular, she was talking about how she is from the South. And if you, anybody who's ever lived in the South, or if you're from the South, you know that you can be driving down a neighborhood where they don't know your car, they've never seen you before in your life, they may not even like you, but they will wave and say hi. In fact, if you don't wave and say hi, like, they'll just get a little closer. Like, they'll yell a little louder. Like, you're gonna say hi. Like, that's just the Southern way of doing it, you know? And sometimes, you know, when they talk about that Southern hospitality, we forget how that's exactly what we see in the scriptures. You know, it's a matter of just engaging people. You know, it's not Bible thumping. It's not constantly talking to people, well, this is what I read today. This is what I prayed about today. It is simply getting to know people. It's a matter of being relational. Like Curtis said this morning, it's like the social part of the gospel is sometimes the hardest thing to overcome, and yet it's impossible for us to carry out the Great Commission of going out and making disciples if we don't have a plan and we don't prepare. And that could be as simple as saying, hi. That could be as simple as saying, you know what? I have an idea. I have a couple of friends. We're going to get together and we're just going to go bowling. Now, I'm throwing this out here because my dad gave me a bowling ball. I just got it cleaned up and got the holes re-drilled. I'm moving in back here, so there's a bowling alley right down the street. So my thought is, hey, we're going to make it up. I'm going to find some bowlers. If there's anybody in here who wants to bowl with me once a week, yes, I see one in the back. That's two of us. If anybody wants to go bowling with me and Philip once a week, feel free. I'm not the greatest bowler. I'm actually doing this so that I can learn. But here's the thing. The plan is not just to go to this bowling alley and hang out and, you know, do poorly. The goal is actually to go because, yes, we want others to see us. We want others to see us living the example of Christ as we're bowling, as we're angry because all we needed was a strike and we split it. But also because what we often fail to realize is that there's somebody out there who, while we may take it for granted and we may just assume that, hey, this is just how we get down, this is what we do, there are others out there who they don't know what this life is. They don't know what it is to have a family of believers, to love one another, to forgive one another, to hold one another accountable, to encourage one another and support one another. We've been in it for so long that, like those five virgins, sometimes we fall asleep. And we forget that being prepared is, well, what happens if this person does show up and say, hey, can I bowl with you guys? What happens if that person says, hey, I noticed that you and your friend were in the gardening section of Lowe's and you were picking out plants and flowers or whatever you were doing, and you were talking about this gardening activity group that you put together, and the first place that you're going to start is on the parsonage behind the church because you want to beautify and help the brother with his lawn. But whatever it is, somebody might overhear you. Somebody might hear you calling and talking to somebody about work. But are we prepared to give a response? Are we prepared to say, hey, yes, why don't you come over and join us? I'm sure you'll have a great time. Or, I'm not really into bowling, but I know these couple of great guys who bowl every week. Or, I'm not into, you know, coffee, but I know these people that get together, or these people, they have a book club. The question is, do we have a plan? Because, see, all of those things that I just listed, you might think, none of those appeal to me. I don't do any of those things. None of those things work. But what is your plan? Because if you're failing to plan, then you're planning to fail. And none of us want to fail. Let's close it out here. In Isaiah chapter 32, verse 7 and 8, it says, very simply, scoundrels use wicked methods. They make up evil schemes to destroy the poor with lies, even when the plea of the needy is just. But the noble make noble plans, and by noble deeds they stand. Our plans, no matter what works for you, no matter what you think you can do, no matter what it is that your strategy is going to be, no matter how you decide, I'm going to go out and I'm going to step out on faith in boldness and courage with conviction, and I'm going to seek to be able to share the gospel with somebody. Or I'm going to seek to be that example of the gospel to somebody. No matter what your plan is, if you're giving it to God and letting him shape it, letting him guide it, letting him mold it, it will work. It will work. But are we willing to plan? Are we willing to take the time? And when we pray for our home, we pray for our children, we pray for our spouses, we pray for all the many blessings, we pray for our money, we pray for peace and, you know, kindness throughout the world. We pray for all these things. But do we pray that we will be able to take the message to somebody? Not 10,000 people, not all of Dover, but somebody. Do we pray that if there is, see, we may not know who it is, if there's somebody at my job, somebody in my neighborhood that is seeking to leave that empty life and they want what's best. They want to find true happiness. They want to find a purpose. Where is that person? God, please send me to them. Please allow them to reveal themselves so that I can share. Do we pray that prayer? Do we plan? Do we have a strategy? Now, next week, in closing this out, I'm going to talk a little bit more specifically about that. But the reason why I bring it up in this way now is because I want us to think through, especially those of us, like myself and many others, who we've been about the work of the Lord for a very long time. Just like that bridegroom is a long way off, at some point we have to give an account and say, I have made good. I have actually gone out and I have planned and executed. Like we looked at with those people with the talents, they actually went out and they multiplied those talents. The master gave them something and they went and did something with it. But you can't do that if you don't prepare and if you don't plan. As a church, as believers who are here in Dover, in Central Delaware, do we have a plan on how we're going to help people who are lost, who are hurting, who don't know the truth? How are we going to help them find a relationship with God? We have to walk away from here and take a sober assessment on how well we've done about the plans that we've set forward. And so I simply want to end on this. We see the scale, and many of us like getting on the scale. Some of us don't. But when a person says they're going to lose weight, they have to come up with a plan. Even if it's just something as simple as saying, hey, I'm going to change my diet, or I'm going to get a membership at the club. But you come up with a plan. Because if a person says, hey, I need to lose some weight, but they do nothing, so you might say, well, I wouldn't get the lap band surgery, or I wouldn't do Slim Fast, or I don't like this particular thing here. Well, something has to be done. What is your plan? Because if you don't plan to drop that weight, well, then you're not serious. Or this guy is obviously, we've all done this thing where it's like, ooh, the money's just not adding up. You know, that look where if you're in debt, if you have financial problems, usually this is the look I have when my wife calls me and says, hey, the car is making this noise and it won't go in the drive. And it's like, oh, I thought I had this money saved up, but actually, yeah, that's a car problem, you know. And so you know you're going to have, just by her describing it, I know exactly, like, oh, this is going to cost $2,000, you know. The thing is, we have to have a plan on how we're going to deal with that debt. Nothing changes. In fact, it's actually increased when you think about what is the responsibility that we have as Christ followers to make and come up with a plan for how we are going to be affected. Because we see that, you know, there was five of them that they weren't particularly responsible. I can't make the next person be responsible with the gospel. The only person I can do is make sure that I myself and being responsible, that I'm taking that oil and I'm preparing for when the time comes. So I want to leave us with this. How urgent am I about my plans and preparations to do the work of the gospel? Because sometimes it's just a matter of, like we see with the virgin, sometimes it's just a matter of, well, I'm just not all that urgent about it. I feel like I got more time, or it's just not that important, or it's not that big a deal. How urgent are we about making the plan? We may have a bunch of ideas, but how urgent am I about making sure that I come up with a plan? Do my plans and preparations to share the gospel reflect what I profess my faith to be about true Christianity? See, oftentimes in theory, we know it. When it comes to thinking it out, even if somebody were to ask us, well, what does it take for a person to be transformed? What does it take for a person to see the gospel and respond to it? What does it take to walk with God and live the life that Christ did? What does that take? We can give it back. We can give it to him. We can say it. But does the time investment, does the way that we prepare, does our prayer life, do those things reflect that we care that other people find the truth? Does it actually reflect that we're prepared to go out there and give the truth? Am I excited about meeting the groom, or am I just happy getting to see the wedding? And when I say this, there are many people, and we know this, there are many people who are just grateful to be in association with other people who have their oil, if you know what I'm saying. Sometimes we can just be glad to be associated with other people, and we have a church where there's other people doing it. And it's great when that person is going out and they're sharing their faith and they're being the light to the world. We're just grateful to be around it. You know, we just kind of want to hang out. But what am I doing to contribute? What am I doing to contribute to sowing the seeds? Yeah, it's great. Oh, this person, man, they went out and they sowed seed everywhere. I mean, they went in the places where it was hard and it was dark, and they went to places where, you know, it really, you know, took some courage and some conviction on their part. And we look at that and we admire that and we lift that up, and we should. But as individuals, we have to ask ourselves, is that enough to be associated with it? Or do I have a responsibility and a duty to also go out and do it myself? That I have to go out and sow seeds as well. And finally, can other people tell that I'm prepared? Am I the person that people go to when they have run out and need more? Do I have extra? See, what we see in this story that we see with the 10 virgins is that it was clear that 5 of them had prepared, and people went to them. Now, they didn't have enough to share, and they did what was responsible. And just like I can't by proxy work for somebody else in their salvation, we all have to work on our own salvation with fear and trembling. But am I a person who, even if I can't give you what I have, I can help you prepare? Why? Because I've come up with a plan. Because I've given my plans to God, and I've asked him to refine them and renew them and make them work. Because I myself am an individual where when somebody thinks, man, I really want to be a better worker for the Lord, I know I can go to this person and ask them, and they can help me. I know that I can go to this person, and they'll be able to instruct me and give me some feedback and help me so that I can be a better worker for the Lord. Are you that person? Because you can be, and you should be. And in order for us to grow, which is still 2017, so that's still the theme for the year, is for us to be able to grow. In order for us to grow, we have to take it upon ourselves as individuals to be better, not only so that we can help other people find Christ, but those of us who know who he is, we have to be able to help our brothers and sisters. We have to be able to help them to grow. And You can't get any more simple than this. Are you prepared to meet Jesus? Even in this story, we see where they were preparing for this, you know, bridegroom to come. But the thing about us here, fast forward 2017, all of us are going to have to meet the bridegroom at a different time. You know, the bridegroom isn't just like getting ready to come down the street and we're all going around there at the same time. Some of us are going to meet the bridegroom sooner. Some of us are going to have to actually make an account and actually give an account, rather, for our work and who we helped to find Jesus, whose life did we impact. Some of us are going to have to answer for this sooner than others. It could be me tomorrow. It could be you tomorrow or next week. Are we prepared? Because as we've, you know, talked about in the past, Jesus isn't just Savior, but he's also Lord. And he's given us specific instructions on what he expects of us as our Master and as our Lord. He's not just there to save us, but he also gives us directions and duties. And so we have to ask ourselves sometimes the simplest, most basic thing. Am I prepared? And especially if you've never committed to giving your life to Christ. Especially if you've never actually even started. See, it's easy to poke holes and look and criticize and say, well, the church isn't this and the church isn't that. But I'm reminded of an old rap song that says people disrespect religion, but they're living is lame. That's an exclaim for those who don't know anything about rap music. The point is, because I know everybody looked at me like, what are you talking about, rap music? Here's the deal. If you've never committed to being a follower of Christ, no matter what the reason is, it doesn't change the fact that you're still going to have to give an account. It doesn't change the fact that you're still going to have to answer for it. And so, as we close here, I want us to really think about what are we preparing for? How have we prepared ourselves to do the works? Not just in theory, not just in our minds, but actually in how we're going to go about changing the way that we live so that we can either do it, maybe for the first time, or do it better. If you've never committed to following Christ, if you've never committed and surrendered your life to God, this is the time. Don't walk away from here and feel like I've got more time. Don't walk away from here and feel like, well, I'll plan later, because the bridegroom's coming and we all have to give an account. Please come forward as we stand and sing our song of invitation.